And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. To your comment lines first, and there's a big long comment that's after coming in there. I live in an estate in Loughrea and I put out my bins last Thursday to be emptied. They came on Friday and collected everyone else's except for mine. I'm up to date with my payments. I rang them on Friday and they told me they would collect it that evening. They never came. I rang them today and they told me it'll be 2 weeks before someone can come. My bins are completely full. The lady on the phone told me to just use a blank bin bag and leave it beside the bin. Our estate is full of cats and they will make a mess of it. Can someone give me advice on what to do? That comes in from one of our listeners. So we'll see if we can delve a bit deeper into that and see what the best advice for you is as well. If you want to get your comments in, do straight away to our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086-3833-553. You can phone Siobhan or reception on 0917700077 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. Now, though, I want to go to the local elections and the European elections as well, because a local man, Fergal Landy, has been selected as a Labour candidate for the Midlands Northwest constituency, but he's also going to be running in the local elections in the Athenry LEA as well. Fergal, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for joining us on the programme today. First of all, congrats. It must be a great honour for you to be selected as a candidate in both of these elections for Labour.
Absolutely. The selection for the European elections was yesterday in the Clayton Hotel. I suppose as a banner man originally, but living in Galway for over 20 years and coming from the background I come, where I suppose I talked about yesterday about how my parents and my father, who's still alive and volunteering for the Vincent de Paul down in Six Mile Bridge, and my mother, who for many years volunteered in different causes, that their values were very much about fairness, equality and social justice. So it's a proud day, certainly, but only the beginning of our journey at the same time. I don't want to be getting ahead of myself. I've been selected, but there's a long road ahead in terms of both the local campaign and the European campaign. And I intend, I suppose, to bring to bear my experience working 20 years, previously worked as a social worker in 25 Newcastle Road with what was the Western Health Board, then the HSE. I also worked in the UNESCO Child and Family Research Centre in NUI Galway. And then I worked with what is now TUSLA, back in similar work, but more focused on prevention and early intervention type work for a few years. And now I work with family resource centres, and there's 121 of those around the country, but including in Galway as well. So that's the type of experience I have and qualifications I have, and I'm very much looking forward to bringing that to bear in both the local and the European elections.
And why politics and why now?
Why politics and why now? I suppose that's an interesting question. I have had a few people stop me on the road over the last while and ask me, am I stone mad? But I've always been interested in politics, I suppose, from a very young age when I decided to go into social work. I mean, really, I studied social studies. That was the degree that led me into social work and political science and so on, and sociology were subjects within that. So I've always been looking in from the outside. I mean, maybe somewhat of a hurler on the ditch, but very interested and very engaged. And really, I don't see it too much different. It's different roles, but really as a social worker, involved in community work, involved in human rights activism, you really are involved in public service. And this is just another take on public service, I suppose, that I'm putting myself forward for. My first particular involvement was when President Michael D. Higgins went first time around for the presidency. I would have canvassed for him and campaigned with him and with his wife, Sabina, here in Galway, knocking doors to doors. So that was my first kind of taste, I suppose, of canvassing and of direct involvement in politics, and of getting involved in the Labour Party locally as well. And I suppose the politics of Michael D. Higgins and the long legacy that he has had in Galway as a TD and now as president is something that I think maybe we've lost a bit in Galway City and County, and that's something I believe we can return to by rebuilding the Labour Party at a grassroots level in the city and in the county. And that's part of really a longer-term piece of work that absolutely needs to be done. But the types of policies, the types of social democratic policies that the Labour Party espouse and have always espoused, I think, are very relevant today and are very meaningful and very tangible. And they need to translate at local government level in Galway City and Galway County Council. They need to translate at national government level to our parliamentary party in the Dáil. But they also need more representation for the people of Galway and the Midlands Northwest with an MEP in Brussels. And if those are Labour MEPs, whether it's myself, Éan O'Raidan in Dublin, or Niamh Horrigan in the South, we can participate then with a wider group called the Party of European Socialists, where we can promote social democratic policies and cooperate and collaborate and have a more strategic and systematic approach to introducing the types of direct policies. And I suppose I've specifically referenced around prevention and early intervention, which I think is relevant at the local, national and European level, where rather than waiting for problems to form for families, for adults, for in the housing area and the health area and the education area and the family support area, we need to get in early alongside and support people. And I see that as a rights-based approach. It's not optional, it's not discretionary for the government to sit back and wait until they have to intervene. Then it's a crisis, then it costs loads of money. There's multiple evidence of that. Then you're between a rock and a hard place in terms of relying on the private sector as well to get you out of a bind.
My next question to you, and you've kind of half answered it there, why Labour? Because I know Labour, they got decimated after they went into coalition with Fine Gael and were heavily criticised for going with a party that's the centre-right and they're traditionally a centre-left party. Why Labour? Why not Social Democrats or People for Profit or other left-leaning parties? Why Labour?
I suppose, I mean, I have to be true to myself. As I said, I've always been affiliated to the Labour Party. I'm a Labour Party voter and I've been a member of the Labour Party as well. So I'm not just going to go with whatever way the wind blows or with the shiniest new thing. I believe that it's right in Ireland and goes back many, many years. This is not a new thing. I mean, the Labour Party precedes the foundation of the state and has stood up for working people and for
vulnerable
people.
But the party has been decimated.
Well, again, sure, wouldn't it be the easiest thing for me to say the party is decimated, I'll walk away and join you know, some other entity that has been recently formed that doesn't have the problem of having a track record. I suppose there's pros and cons. It's a double-edged sword having a track record of over 100 years and many achievements in government. And the double edge of that sword is when you step up and when you get off the ditch and when you do things, you know, it's difficult and tough decisions have to be made. So there's legacy there, but I'm not going to walk away from that. I mean, previous people made decisions in government and it's difficult to make decisions in government, but I'm going to be true to myself. I believe that we need a strong centre-left party in Ireland, in Galway, in Ormore, Athenry, from the local to the national to the European level. And I believe, you know, from my perspective, and everybody, each to their own, but from my perspective, that is the Labour Party. And, and there was no consideration for me. I mean, people stopped me in the street and said, would you not go with Fianna Fáil? Would you not go here? Would you not go there? You know, and as you're saying, the other left parties, no. My view is that the left space in Ireland, for me, from far as I'm concerned, is the Labour Party, and it has been for over 100 years.
Okay, in terms of the local and the Europeans, is the European ticket and going in Europe, is that hope more than expectation? Because a constituency like the Midlands Northwest, a rural constituency, is there enough votes there to get one of the seats? I know there's an additional seat in the air, but is there enough for a Labour seat?
No, I appreciate that. That's a perception. I suppose, look, I'm taking a step to get involved in politics. At the end of the day, what happens from there on is in the hands of the people. Where I get elected to, I have no control over. But this kind of long-standing perception, I suppose, that Labour is an urban party or that Labour can't represent rural issues, I don't believe in that either. I mean, I live in Mary. Okay, it's not too far from Ormore. It's not too far from Galway. I'm not saying it's a remote area, but I'm surrounded by farms, farming people, agricultural way of life. Both my parents grew up in subsistence farms. My father in rural Tipperary, my mother in West Limerick. I mean, the Labour Party was and the Labour movement, I suppose, was representing farm labourers and farm workers as I go back prior to the foundation of the state. So I absolutely believe that the people of rural Ireland have a common sense approach. They want competency. They want someone who will represent their issues. But inclusive in their issues are the values of fairness, of justice, of equality. That is not an urban concept. That is very much a rural concept. And there's absolutely scope for the Labour Party to grow and to develop across rural Ireland, across Galway's county, but also across the whole of the Midlands Northwest. It's not easy to represent, you know, in such a large constituency for anybody who's putting themselves forward in these elections. And I don't see it as any more difficult for the Labour Party. There are urban parts to that constituency and there are rural parts to that constituency. And I suppose if I'm elected and my colleagues, Éan O'Riordan in Dublin and Niamh Horrigan in the South, if we are elected as three to go forward and represent as a bloc in Europe, we can represent urban issues, rural issues, We have talked about a just transition and how that relates to farmers, about farmers not having to carry a disproportionate burden of how we move towards a low carbon society. These are issues that are absolutely relevant to Labour, and Labour can represent, and I can represent.
Okay, in terms of what you want to achieve in Europe should you get elected and all that, and let's bring that back to a Galway context. What are your main priorities for Galway that you can get? Because we know that 70% of the legislation that comes back to Ireland is actually done out in Europe. What are your big objections or objectives for Galway in particular?
For Galway in particular, I suppose what I'm talking about is a long-term, you know, strategic and preventative approach to all types of social change. You know, so, you know, you can categorise that as housing, as migration, environment, transport, education, health. As you say, a lot of these issues are touched upon in Europe. But that doesn't need and shouldn't feel like distant or people in Europe making decisions that affect us that we don't participate in.
But what do you actually want to see done in Europe that'll affect Galway on those issues?
Yeah, I think, look, I think we've matured and grown as a nation over time, and we've taken our place as the founding members of the state intended, as a nation amongst Europe. But you know, most of our European partners, it's common practice to have a social democratic-led government and social democratic politicians talking about, you know, public services for all, proper levels of investment in public service, whether that be health, housing, education. There's a bit of a mismatch here for whatever historical reasons whereby we've never had those types of social democratic policies properly represented for us in Europe or at national government level. So I believe that there's a role to play for taking the local issues and bringing them to Europe so people feel that they don't feel this disconnect. They actually feel they can raise an issue to me. I can bring it up in the European Parliament. The European institutions then across the different parts of the European Commission can actually take positions and draft legislation and regulations that impact positively on people's lives. So people are actually participating in the decisions that affect them. So we have better housing, and we're thinking about the sewage treatment that's needed for those, for that housing. We're thinking about the transport.
What legislation do you want to change in Europe to make this happen, I suppose, is the point I'm getting at?
Yeah, look, what I'm saying is we have the opportunity to participate with the party of Europe. You can't change legislation in Europe unless you actually are part of a bloc. So if you go to Europe as an independent, standalone, look, you can talk, you can make noise and so on and so forth, but you can't actually affect change.
Yeah, but what piece of legislation in Europe currently are causing these problems, whether that be housing or sewage or planning, that you would like to see changed and modified and rectified with consensus with the European Parliament?
I would say, particularly as it's relevant to Galway, I would say it's a more competent and normalised understanding of what it is to have social rights. So what it is to have a right to housing. So not being on the housing list for 10 years, not having your child assessed for disability and then not getting the follow-on therapy that you need and so on and so forth. So there's the opportunity to pass legislation that has basic minimum standards. We have a kind of an approach to rights in this country where we're in favour of civil and political rights, right, freedoms and so on, which is right, we should be, but they don't cost, and I think that's why our government likes them. They don't generally cost any money. Social rights, a right to housing, a right to health. The only one we've really had is a right to free primary school education, and we all know that it's not fully free. I know that myself. I have three young children and what you have to pay in add-on costs. But at the end of the day, even as a basic right within our constitution, it's one of the most effective. It has had one of the most biggest social impact in the country, having free primary school education. So what I'm saying is that kind of commitment can be passed by consensus in the European Parliament and translate domestically into Ireland, where actually we stop shirking social rights and say, oh no, we don't want to do that because it costs money, when the reality is the money that costs in late intervention. So what do we then pay to private providers of B&Bs and hotels to deal with the fact that we didn't provide housing and so on? Same with health, same with education. We throw money at the problem in a reactive way instead of investing proactively, strategically and preventatively in preventing the problem from arising in the first place.
If we do look at Europe, though, and look at the Eastern countries in the European Parliament, particularly with the migration crisis over the last year or two, there has been a tilt to the right. And it's looking like, if you look at the polls, that trend is going to be continued and copied and reflected in Ireland as well. What's your thought process on that?
Well, I wouldn't make any. First of all, I mean, it is very worrying. It is a movement of an arise of the far right across Europe, you know, and we all know what happened the last time we saw that. I wouldn't make any assumptions about that being so in Ireland. I think, like, people in Ireland are frustrated at the lack of housing, the lack of health, the lack of school places, the lack of school transport in terms of school buses and so on and so forth. I've spoken to many people in rural Ireland and in suburban and urban Ireland who aren't of the view of blaming immigrants of that, or who fully understand that the government are responsible for that and have no desire to blame immigrants for that. So I wouldn't make any assumptions in relation to that.
If you look at the polls, though, a lot of the independents who are to the right of centre, they're not far right, but they're to the right of centre, they're doing quite well.
Well, independents are doing well, but I mean, the whole point about independents is they're a plethora of independents, and some independents are looking to opportunistically capitalise on anti-immigrant sentiment, perhaps, but not all, right? Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not, who knows, it could be happening, and I think you're right to raise it, and at the end of the day, if there is a move in that direction, it's all the more important that a party like Labour, who is absolutely unequivocal and unambiguous in our inclusion, and I am unambiguous in my inclusion of migrants. My children go to school with people from different countries who've come here over the years. The contribution that migrants have made to this country is just astounding within a relatively short period of time in businesses and in public service and so on and so forth. So yes, it is a concern, and all the more reason why I think across the three European constituencies we need the Labour Party represented, so we can cooperate with the Party of European Socialists to push back on far-right populism across in Ireland and across Europe.
Let's bring it back to the locals now. You're running in Athenry, Oranmore, the LEA there. What are your two or three, briefly, your two or three big things you want to see done there?
Three things, really. I want to see an improvement in transport infrastructure for drivers, for cyclists, for pedestrians, for public transport users. I don't want to see any divisiveness there. I think everybody needs there are different needs, and all needs can be catered for. I think there's a need for way more enhanced amenities and facilities in line with the growing needs of the community and the increases in population. Talking like playgrounds, sports, cultural opportunities, inclusive for all. And really that same, right, it's not different, the same long-term prevention approach that I'm talking about at a European level around housing, migration, environment, transport and education, health has to translate locally on the ground. Like Oranmore, Athenry, these are now effectively commuter towns for Galway City. Some people are working at home, some people are travelling into Galway, some people are travelling in the other direction, and we really need to recognise the growth. And in the rural areas across Clare-Galway, Annadown and so on and so forth as well, Carrabrown. You know, it's changing, and again, it can't be reactive. We need to be ahead of that. The data is there. We can project population growth. We can project the population location. We have the planning system where we can actually orientate planning permissions along the transport routes, particularly the public transport routes. Try to move people, you know, give them the option to leave the car at home. Give them the option to use public transport or to cycle or to walk safely. Like, people are coming up to me in Oranmore at the moment, and I know the issues are similar in Athenry, around feeling safe that their children, if they want their children to cycle to school, they don't mind the weather. Okay, it rains a lot in Ireland, but they want them to cycle to school. They're not worried about the rent. They're worried about their safety. They're worried about cycle lanes and traffic calming measures.
Final one, and you did allude to it at the beginning. You're currently the CEO of the Family Resource Centre National Forum. If you get elected to one or both, whether that be the local or the Europeans, will you have to step down from that? And how did that news go filter down at home?
Well, look, like people think about getting into politics, like, and I hear all sorts of things, like fellas getting into politics, you know, to look after themselves. I mean, it's a tough decision for me. I'm a long-term public servant. I've worked in many different roles in the public service. I'm putting myself before the people locally in Oranmore, Athenry, and also across the Midlands, Northwest. The people will decide at the end of the day what happens next. I might be nowhere, I might be somewhere. You know, I'm calling on the people, and I'm calling on, you know, all people, Labour voters and people who haven't traditionally voted for Labour, to vote for me in Oranmore, Athenry, and to vote for me in the Midlands, Northwest. If I'm elected to Galway County Council, I can continue to work perhaps part-time and do both. If I'm elected to Brussels, then, you know, I have to give up my job and I have to go to Brussels and represent the people.
Okay. Fergal Landy, who is a Labour candidate indeed in the Athenry Oranmore LEA and as well in the Midlands Northwest. Thank you for joining us on Galway Talks this morning. Still to come between now and 11, we're looking at the Galway Simons Dip a Day in May, your way. And we'll also have the crew from the Galway Musical Society in ahead of their production of Oliver. All that plus lots more coming up on Galway Talks. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Fintan Maher, who is the Galway Simon Community Head of Fundraising. We also have Laura Balta. So it's heard you're doing the Dip a Day in May. You're both very welcome onto the programme today. And Fintan, I'm going to go to you first. Good morning. You're welcome onto the programme.
Good morning, John.
Talk to us about this pretty damning report into the HAP scheme. There were 38 properties within the discretionary rate of housing assistance payment scheme available to rent last month. But it's all pretty damning. And I suppose the discretion is rate is one thing. It allows those outside of Dublin to get that 35% subsidization, I suppose. But people have to put their own discretion on top of that if to have any chance of getting a property at all.
Yeah, I suppose the issue is, as we all know, the housing crisis, and this the Locked Out of the Market report is a report we do every quarter from the Simon Communities of Ireland, and it basically looks at what properties are available to rent, both kind of in the private sector, but then for those who are on HAP, and what properties are available within the HAP limits. And as you say, there's the standard HAP rate, and then there's discretionary rate. And in the most recent report, as has been now for the many reports, in Galway City and in Galway suburbs, there was nothing available under HAP, nothing to rent at all. So if you've got clearance to use HAP, there's just nothing available in the market. So it is a reflection of the really, really poor housing situation for people. You know, there's just nothing available out there. And even with the discretionary 35%, people can't afford to pay the rents. And we see that all the time, and we're seeing that in the numbers of people unfortunately coming to us for help. So if someone receives a notice to quit today, if you go on to DAFT yourself and just look at the properties that are available, there's very few, and those that are available are very, very expensive. So it's, you know, again, it's just a reflection of the ongoing housing crisis, you know, and it's welcome that Simon Harris said he was going to build 250,000 houses over the next 5 years, which is fantastic. But we just need to see the delivery at this stage. There's been a lot of talk, but we need to see delivery.
We're going into elections, though.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, as I say, we remain ever hopeful that the situation will be addressed. But, I mean, you know, if you look at we've got record numbers of people in emergency accommodation across the country. And even here in the West, we now hit record numbers last month, the highest number ever of people in emergency accommodation. So something does need to be done. And the big issue is lack of social housing. Mm. You know, if the government can address the social housing, and they are building more, which is a good thing, but the numbers they're building are still far too low. Like even in Galway last year, we didn't deliver on the target, and the target itself isn't high enough. Mm. So that's the big issue. Like, while HAP helps address an issue, the rates aren't high enough. So we're in the short term, the rates need to be increased to enable people to be able to afford. But that's not the solution. The long-term solution is more housing. Mm. And that will hopefully, but I mean, it is a long-term solution. So we're, you know, every time we call on the government, they need to put a greater focus on delivering social housing.
And I know in your latest report, you have expanded things in terms of single properties. They've looked at studio apartments, which hadn't been in the past.
Yeah.
And there's been a bit of flexibility there, but it's still all pretty damning and it's a lot of despair out there for people on these lists.
There is, and it's very challenging for people, as I say, who find themselves in the homeless situation, because you do. But I suppose we give hope to people, you know, and in terms of over the last 2 years of the people who have come to us for help, we've managed to make sure 93% of those did not go into emergency accommodation. So there are solutions out there, but it's getting increasingly difficult to come up with those solutions. You know, our frontline teams move heaven and earth in order to come up with solutions for people, and they're very successful at it, but it is getting harder and harder as each, you know, year goes on and as the housing situation is not addressed.
Yeah.
So again, we are putting the call out to government again to please, you know, move heaven and earth to get social housing. This is a crisis we're in, and it needs a crisis response.
Yeah. Now, one of the ways in which you help people, you need funds to help people. Dip a Day in May your way. That's coming up in the month of May. Talk to us about this initiative. It's a great initiative. It's been going on for a number of years.
Yeah, we launched this during lockdown. The original one was during lockdown. And the idea is that people take a dip every day through the month of May. And when we launched it, as they during lockdown, I suppose people were locked down at home. We were all looking for things to do every day. And over the last 2 years, we've noticed people have found it harder and harder to kind of do it every day. So now we're saying for this year, we're saying a dip a day your way. So you can choose to dip every day. Absolutely fantastic. Okay. If you can't do it every day, the people may choose to do it at weekends when they've got a bit more time. Or for those who are working from home, may be able to do Monday to Friday. And the idea is you commit to doing a dip whatever way throughout the month of May, and you ask your friends and family to sponsor you and support you. So if people are interested in doing it, then go onto the Galway Simon website, galwaysimon.ie, and look for Dip a Day in May, and they register there, they set up their fundraising page, and then, as I said, the idea is they put a call out to friends and family to support them. We're setting up a WhatsApp group, so people will be able to share their photographs, and we'll share them on our social channels. And it's a lovely thing to do in terms of, you know, as anyone who does, who's a regular dipper, and Laura, who's here with us, has been doing it for 3 years, and like, she's a great advocate for it. And is it really enjoyable? I did it myself 2 years ago. I'm not a daily dipper now. I do go regularly, but like, committing every day is a challenge, and that's why I would say we're moving it this year to dip a day your way. So we're calling on people across the West to get out there. You know, you don't have to swim in the sea. You can take a shower every day, take a cold bath every day. Whatever kind of dip you can get around to doing, that's what we're asking people to do.
Absolutely. And it's going to help people locally as well, including, we say, between January and December of last year, over 1,000 adults and 415 children. Just talk to us about the work you're doing with those people.
Yeah, so as you say, last year we supported over 980 households and across Galway, Mayo and Roscommon. The numbers, unfortunately, as I say, are keep going in the wrong direction. But in terms of the work that we do, we provide housing for people. So we would, at any one night, we would accommodate in approximately 180 people in our own accommodation. Mm-hmm. But then we support people in their own housing as well. So that can be anything from like helping people to, you know, to get accommodation. So if they're going through the process of applying for HAP, that we support them with that. But it's also, we have a full mental health and health support team. Yeah. That can help people who have found themselves in homelessness or have moved on from homelessness and may need support just in terms of maintaining their tenancy. Because if you've been living in homeless for a period of time, it can be difficult in terms of knowing how to pay the bills. So the breadth of, we basically say we're there for people when they need us, for as long as they need us, and in whatever way they need us. So some people just need a house, and once they get the property, they move on and they never need Galway Simon again. Whereas others, we would have people who are with us long term who may need ongoing supports in order to maintain their tenancy. So it's not one size fits all. But I suppose the frightening thing is the numbers of people who are turning to us for support and other agencies. And like last month in the West, we had a record number of people in emergency accommodation. There were 651 people in emergency accommodations. That's hotel or bed and breakfast accommodation. And of those, 240 were children. Mm. So that's children going to school every day out of one room in a hotel or bed and breakfast. You know, it's frightening for people.
Because I know government will say that they're hitting targets and they're exceeding targets, et cetera, et cetera. But the homeless figures are going up and up and up.
Yeah, because unfortunately the targets they're hitting are not the right targets.
Yeah.
So then, you know, the targets are too low. And as I say, in Galway last year, we didn't meet the target for social housing and even those low targets. So there is a need for a big push. And as I say, it does need a crisis response. You know, we demonstrated during COVID that when there was a crisis, we could step up. And that's what we're saying to government now. They really need to kind of have the same all government response to this.
Even the Ukrainian war as well, the response we did with refugees coming in.
And we've demonstrated we can do it. It just needs the will, but it needs an all-government response to it.
Okay. I'm delighted to say we're joined in studio by Laura Balta. I hope I've pronounced your name correctly.
Perfect.
Yeah. And you've been doing this, your third year involved in Dip a Day in May. Why did you get involved?
Well, I actually know families directly who Galway Simon Community helped. Simon Community elsewhere in County Meath.
Yeah.
So it's close. Another thing is as well, I'm myself walking on eggshells, hoping that my landlord will not kick us out. So I'm on my own with three small children. And please God, I will never need help directly from Simon Community. But it's one where you really understand and you see with your own eyes the homelessness and how quickly so many people can find themselves in the situation. Plus, on the fun side, I wanted to challenge myself with the cold water, with a swim. So I thought, what is better way to do it than to have accountability by raising money for a lovely charity and to record all your dips and everything and raise money that way. So it's kind of both ways. So I fought my demons. And I am dipping every day since actually 3 years ago with the first. So I got completely addicted. There is plenty really good benefits in doing so. And I think I hooked good few people now since, you know, dipping with me. And this year I'm bringing my three children in. And I told them, I said, I'm going to mention your name on the radio. So you have no chance of turning back from this. So Freya, she's 13, Aaron, he's 10, and Austin, he's 8, at school now. And guys, you're all dipping with mommy and we're going to raise loads of money.
Brilliant. And You mentioned you do it every day. Is that every day throughout the year, or is that
throughout
just
the year? Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Come hail,
come
sun
hail,
or shine.
Yes, absolutely everything. It's amazing what it does for you. I have a little tiny list of benefits of cold water gives you, and very quickly I can go through them. So your cold water dipping boosts immune system and cardiovascular system. It actually also helps dealing with depression. So if you're feeling in any way low or, you know, moody, I swear to God, that will, you know, knock you out big time. It lowers inflammation. As a fitness instructor myself, it's great help with the muscle recovery. It's also relieves stress. And so many positive things, you know. And
have you your fundraising page set up yet?
Or? I have set it up. I haven't started posting or showing people, but I have registered last week, got the t-shirts to prove it, and we're ready to go.
It's great though, Fintan, because you rely on this type of volunteerism to raise those badly needed funds.
Absolutely. I mean, we couldn't do the work we do without the support of people like Laura and the wider community. You know, as you say, we are dependent on the fundraising in order to keep the show on the road, as I said. You know, we have a target of over €1 million every year to raise in order to meet the needs that are out there. So it's wonderful that there are people like Laura out there who, you know, get involved in our fundraising and raise funds for us, but also volunteer with us. And so again, we just couldn't do it without the public support. So if people are interested in getting involved, and, you know, they want to brave their local waters, as I say, they can go on to galwaysimon.ie/dipaday, or they can contact us by phone on 091 381 828, and you say they register, they sign up, and then we set them up at a fundraising page and share it with friends and family. And as Laura said, it is a challenge, you know, don't underestimate the water. As I said, I did myself 2 years ago. The water is cold, it does get warmer throughout the month of May, so we're actually going into better weather. You know, as we were chatting earlier on, it was quite windy in May 2 years ago. So there are different challenges, but it is a fun thing to do, and it's a fun thing to do with family. I did it with my two sons when we did it. So it is a fun thing to do with friends and family. And that's the fact that all the funds are going to local cause is great as well.
Yeah. Involve people, you know, bring somebody with you, let them record your screams, your shouts. It is really, really fun. And when you'll come out from it, I swear you're going to say, you know what? You know, it is fun. It's. I swear, it's so much fun, guys. You just have to, you know, involve more and more people with you. You know, do it in groups.
And it is good to do it with somebody else, because they do hold you to account. Like, there are days when I didn't feel like going, and my son would say, "No, we're going." And then the days he was feeling that,
it does
motivate you when you've got somebody else depending on you.
Yeah. Absolutely, Fintan Maher, the head of fundraiser with Galway Simon Community, and Laura Balta. Best of luck with everything, and we hope you raise a lot of money for it. What are your targets with it, Fintan, or do you have targets
for this for the Dip a Day? It's 20,000 for this year this event. As I say, we need to raise over €1 million in the year across all the activities we do. So yeah, but it's great. And John, can I wish you all the best in your new role here at Galway FM.
Thank you.
Big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill, but we're trying our best. Fintan Maher and Laura Balta, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks and Galway Bay FM. And please do give all the funds you can afford to give to Dip a Day in May your way for Galway Simon Community. And pick a pocket or two. That's a nice segue. We're talking about Oliver next. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Now, I mentioned Pick a Pocket or Two. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by the Galway Music Society co-PRO, Jay Hall, and we also have Patrick Byrne, who is playing the part of Fagin. You're both very welcome onto the programme today, gentlemen, and I'll let you get straight into it. Here's Patrick Byrne, and here is You've Got to Pick a Pocket or Two from Oliver. In your own time, Patrick.
Crime doesn't pay. Robin Hood, what a crook, gave away what he took. Charity's fine, subscribe to mine. Get out and pick a pocket or two. You've got to pick a pocket or two, boys. You've got to pick a pocket or two.
Robin Hood was far too good. You have to pick a pocket or two.
Well done, lads. Well done. Fair play to you altogether. That's a little snippet of You Got to Pick a Pocket or Two from Oliver, because all eyes now are on the Town Hall Theatre from tomorrow night. And I believe you're having your dress rehearsal tonight, gentlemen. I heard earlier on.
That's right. Yeah. So we yeah, it was the first one tonight, and or last dress rehearsal tonight, and yes, opening Tuesday and running through Saturday there with a Saturday matinee. So.
It's a big production, Oliver.
Absolutely, and it's a bitty piece. So we get a lot of different kind of great actors to kind of come together and kind of showcase a lot of small little roles that kind of go through the whole thing. But I tell you what, the boys chorus that's joining us, like the 13 of them, are absolutely stellar.
Yeah, and Patrick, you're playing the part of Fagin. How have you found that? It's a unique and, I suppose, iconic role for anyone to play.
It's a dream role. Being an old man. I've sure. dreamt of this part.
Patrick's been aged about 30 years, 40 years in the meantime here, going up to play Fagin.
I've just got to stay in character for that.
Yeah, so mind the pockets.
It's exciting, though. It's exciting. And for you, Patrick, how have you been involved in the musical scene in the area over the past few years?
Well, I've been doing it for 20 years now, wow. Believe it or not.
Jeez. And yeah. All that time with Galway Musical Society, or have you been in different places?
I started with Ballinasloe, if you've ever heard of it.
Another town.
And I've been with Burr Stage Guild, and GMS before, and Banagher.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Patrick played Stacey Jacks for GMS. I think that's the last GMS show you did.
That's right. That was quite a different role.
Yeah, a little bit of a different role playing a rocker in Rock of Ages there.
And are you sick of listening to him yet? It must be difficult if he's method acting like this the whole time.
No, not too bad. Not too bad. Because I'm playing the doctor myself. I'm playing Dr. Grimwig. So as I say, he's a bit of a quack. So I get to go with as many duck impressions as I possibly can. What? Huh? What? Huh? What? Say
And... GMS, you have a proud tradition there. I believe you're in the Gilbert section, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Of
the Ames Awards. And you have a great history and a lot of talent involved in this production, as is true with every other year.
Yeah, absolutely. No, last year, we staged Rent last year in 2023, and we were lucky enough to be awarded our third best show in the country. Yeah. We came in third, and our Maureen in Rent, Helena Brosnan, she actually was awarded best female singer as well. Mm-hmm. And our director, who's back this year, Paul Norton, he was nominated for best director in the country. So we're bringing back a lot of the talent that we had last year. The lad who played Roger for us, Keith Hanley, he's coming back this year as Bill Sykes. Okay. So going from the much more sympathetic role to a much darker and psychotic role in a lot of ways in this one. But yeah, we bring back a lot of talent, and then we also bring back people who may not have been involved in the society for the last couple of years, like Patrick here. So it's always nice to get everyone together onto the stage.
To rein them back in. And then the part of Oliver, who was named after the musical itself.
Absolutely. So we have the young man himself, Ronan Harney, who is absolutely brilliant as Oliver. Genuinely tears every rehearsal that we have. A couple of his pieces, he knows, he's pure professional, knows how to bring it all together. And he... it's an absolute pleasure to work with them, and indeed all the young lads who are joining us on the stage there. They're absolutely brilliant as we get a chance to work with them.
Yeah, and it's a very accessible musical for people who mightn't be into that musical theatre scene. People are aware of the movie and all that, but we heard You've Got to Pick a Pocket or Two, Food, Glorious Food. There's a great number that rolls off with this musical.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many great tunes. I had mentioned it actually to a couple friends in Galway recently, and they were like, "Geez, I wouldn't know much of the music from it." And I mentioned "Food, Glorious Food," Oliver, "Consider Yourself," and they're like, "Geez, I know all those songs."
It's it's
one of those musicals that resonates ever since I think it won Best Picture in 1968 with Oliver Reed there as in the role of Bill Sykes. So we have a great tradition of putting the show together, and it's really kind of great to put a new twist on it. Excuse the pun, but
yeah. And I suppose for yourselves, like Rent, the Jonathan Larson, it's a very different type. Nice for you to freshen things up as well.
Absolutely, and sure we didn't stray too much in terms of the darkness. We're definitely playing into the darkness of Oliver, because I mean it's Victorian London is where it's all based. So it's definitely got its own grime and grit that goes into it. Very different than late 20th century New York, but at the same time, there's a lot of similar themes that you're kind of able to play with as you go about. And we we do our best to kind of bring it all together and present Oliver, maybe, because it is a show that's done so often. We're trying our best to kind of maybe put it out in a new way, a way that people might not have seen before. And sure, we've been pushing the envelope in some ways, and we've been pulling it back in others. So we're hoping to give everyone a show that they might not have ever come across.
Now, it's starting tomorrow night for a 4-night run in the Town Hall Theatre, and it's such a beautiful
5-night run.
Oh, five. My apologies. And it's a beautiful venue as well, though.
It is. It's absolutely. We're so privileged to be able to work in the Town Hall Theatre. It's genuinely a brilliant production. We got our first chance to be in there this past weekend, and it was lovely just being on stage yesterday and kind of getting it all together with all of us there.
Must be great for you to be back there as well, Patrick, because I know like even the sound of it and everything, it's sublime.
It just blows me away every time I walk in there.
And in terms of the character of Fagin, he is iconic, as I mentioned there. How do you bring him to life? Is it all in the voice, or do you have your swagger, your walk as well?
I think when you get the costume on you, you just become that person.
And you haven't been pickpocketing any of the cast there in preparation for it, no?
No, but they better be careful.
Pay attention to the social media channels. I think one of the lads stole my phone yesterday, so...
And for yourself, Jay, how long have you been involved with GMS?
I joined the society in 2018 with The Hired Man. I had been involved in musical theatre in the States before I moved over here from Philadelphia. And had been a few years before I'd kind of gotten into anything. And one of my friends, Nikki Lawless, he had mentioned, "Oh, I'm in a show tonight. You should come along to see it." And I was like, "Amateur musical theatre is a thing in Ireland?" So it was a pleasure to kind of see the production value that really goes into it. You don't associate amateur musical theatre with the insane production value that we really put on stage. And I've been very lucky to be a part of GMS since 2018, and then a few other societies as well. So it's been nice to bring this back into the life.
Because it's a small community, but there's a lot of intermingling between the societies in Galway in particular. You have GMS, you have Nine Arts, you have Tuum,
yes.
You have Ballinasloe. Like, there's a lot of intermingling and a lot of interdispersing of talent as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sure. I think this is the first show Patrick and I have done together. But I mean, we've seen each other on stage over the years, and it's nice to... We walked into the room and it's like, "How you keeping?" It's an immediate familiarity, even though we've never been in a rehearsal room together. But you just kind of have that community all together. It's really lovely to get everyone in there. And I've been involved in Nine Arch, and as Patrick said, involved in Ballinasloe and Burr and all over the country. So we get a chance to kind of bring it all together.
And it's a 5-night run starting tomorrow night. Just give us the time and how are tickets going?
Yeah, tickets are going great. Starting Tuesday night, Tuesday through Saturday, 8 p.m. And then we also have a Saturday matinee at 2. And I'd say tickets are going quickly. We actually, Friday night just sold out last night. So we're happy to say that we have a sellout on our hands for one of our shows. And I think there's only about 10 tickets left for the Saturday evening.
Wow.
So it's selling really well. So it's kind of, and you can just get the tickets on the Town Hall Theatre website, or any of our social media channels have the links to them there. Yeah.
I suppose the highlight from the acting sense, and for those who are taking it quite seriously in the society, is when the Ames adjudicator comes. Are you hoping to better last year's third place as best overall show?
I mean, it'd be incredible. It'd be great if we could. But I always say anyway, it's that they're the one person in the audience that's not paying for a ticket. So we're putting on the show for everybody else who's paying to come and see us perform here. It'd be absolutely incredible to be recognized for any of the work any of us are doing. It's a stellar cast, it's a stellar production. But if the adjudicator likes it, all the better. But I think the important thing is, as long as the cast is flying it, and as long as the audience likes it, that's what we're doing this for.
And have you managed to get a coveted place down in Killarney?
We have indeed. So there's a good crew going down anyway.
You were lucky. Yeah.
Oh, that's what we've heard. Sure, I'm involved in other societies that weren't quite as lucky. It's
brilliant. Well, Jay Hall and Patrick Byrne, we wish you all the best there with Galway Music Society as he present Oliver, starting from tomorrow night in the Town Hall Theatre, 8 o'clock each night, and there's also matinees. We'll get more details on townhalltheatre.ie. We wish you all the best, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll have to get rid of Fagan awful quick. Still to come on the programme today, we have Galway Greats, and this time it's the turn of Heather Higgins. That's coming up after news.